for anything with religion. He plowed his fields on Sunday morning and would shake his fist at the church people that passed by on their way to church. October came, and the farmer had his finest crop ever, best in the county. When the harvest was complete, he placed an advertisement in a local paper which belittled the Christians for their faith in God. He wrote this: "Faith in God must not mean much if someone like me can prosper." The response from the Christians in the community was quiet and polite. In the next edition of the town paper, a small ad appeared. It simply read, "God doesn't always settle his accounts in October." And for this, we all say, thank you, Jesus, for your mercy in each of our lives, where we're not getting what we truly deserve. Let's pray. God, we live in a broken world where what is right rarely seems to happen, or doesn't seem to happen enough. And then those with power and position seem to crush the innocent, the poor, and the disadvantaged. We pray for your mercy and for your grace, for your kingdom to come, heal, restore, and redeem all that has gone wrong, all the evil in our world and our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today is in Daniel 7. This will be the last message in Daniel for this year because next Sunday Advent begins, and so our messages are going to be related around Advent. Daniel 7, Ernie's going to put it up, 1 to 28. In the first six chapters, in the prophetic book of Daniel, there's some incredible narrative stories. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are four of the exiles who were taken from their homeland in Jerusalem and departed to Babylon. They were integrated into the finest schools of learning and became prominent in the Babylonian courts. Slight problem. They don't want to participate in eating steak and wine because it would defile them. Was this meat offered to idols? It's unclear. So the four ask for menus of vegetables and water. After a 10-day trial, Daniel and his crew look better than those on the rich foods, so everyone is switched to vegetables and water. Yikes, I hope this isn't a new trend. In Daniel chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, but he does something no other king has ever done before. He commands that the wise men to not only interpret the dream, which they were trained to do, but they also had to come up with the dream themselves. No hints. If they don't come up with both the dream and the interpretation, it's off with their heads. All of them will be executed, including Daniel and his friends. Daniel asks the executioner to take a coffee break while he seeks God for a divine interpretation. And God reveals both the dream and the interpretation to Daniel, which he shares before the king. In both of these situations, it is not the king who is in control of the world, but the Almighty God of the universe. As a result, on both occasions, Daniel and his three friends are raised in their position and influence in the kingdom. But now in the last six chapters of the book of Daniel, it switches from the genre of narrative and storytelling to apocalyptic writings. Just like in the book of Revelation, the idea of apocalyptic genre here is the revealing of, or the pulling back of the curtain for all to see. Toto the dog did this in The Wizard of Oz when he pulled back the curtain and the so-called wizard that revealed no wizard at all, but a short little man standing on a stool pulling levers. But in the second half of Daniel, it is God who's pulling back the curtain to what is and what will be. Daniel 7, verse 1. It gives us a peek into the circumstances that are unfolding around Daniel. Belshazzar is now the king of Babylon in the place of his father Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel has a dream, and it's kind of a scary dream. Have you ever had a scary dream? In the next seven verses, verse 2 to 8, it describes four beasts that come out of the sea, one right after the other. In the ancient Near East, the sea was a dangerous, threatening place that raged against God and his creation. In verse 4, the first beast was like a lion with eagle wings. But once the wings were plucked off, it stood like a human being and was given a mind. Verse 5, the second beast was like a bear that was raised up on one side and had three tusks in its mouth among its teeth, and it was told to rise and devour many. Verse 6, the third beast was like a leopard and had wings, four wings of a bird on its back and four heads. Verse 7 and 8, the fourth beast is mentioned, who is terrifying and dreadfully strong. It had iron teeth and was stamping its feet. It had 10 horns, and then there were other horns were appearing and disappearing. Their eyes were like human eyes in its horn and a mouth speaking arrogantly. These beasts were mutants, and nothing like it is found in our world. They are a perversion of what God intended in his created world. If we skip down to verse 15, it says that Daniel's spirit was troubled within him and he was terrified. No kidding, who wouldn't be? So Daniel asked for an interpretation, and the rest of the chapter does just that. Verse 17, the four beasts represent four kings who arise out of the earth. Each of these kingdoms propagates arrogance and violence and will succeed one after the other. The fourth kingdom is a super beast with lots of horns representing kings. In Daniel 7:21, the super beast sets himself up as a god, makes war with or persecutes God's holy ones, and prevails over them. But these wicked kingdoms are not all that is happening in the world or in the universe. In Daniel 7:9-14, God reveals himself. Verse 9 and 10, as I watched, thrones were set in place, and the ancient one. Throughout scripture, God is referred to as the Ancient of Days. The idea is that he's always been. He took his throne. His clothing was as white as snow, purity. His hair was like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames. Verse 10, a stream of fire flowed out of his presence. Thousands and thousands served him, and 10,000 by 10,000 stood attending him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. This imagery is very much like Revelation 5, 11, and 12, where God is about to judge the nations. Daniel 7, 11, the fourth beast who arrogantly spoke was put to death and destroyed. Now remember, these beasts represent earthly kingdoms. In Daniel 11, 12, the other beasts had their dominions taken away from them. And then incredibly, in Daniel 7, 13-14, the Son of Man comes. I saw one like a human being coming from the clouds. Haven't we heard this somewhere else before? Matthew 26, 64, and in the future, you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power at God's right hand and coming on the clouds of heaven. Again, in Luke 21, 27, then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. When Jesus comes again, it'll be a no-doubter. Daniel 7, 14, to him was given dominion and glory and kinship, that all peoples, nations, and language would serve him. His dominion is everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that will never be destroyed. In Philippians 2:10, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on the earth and under the earth. It will be revealed who the King of Kings and Lord of Lords really is. Now going down to Daniel 7:21-22. As I looked, the horn, fourth beast, made war with the holy ones, either angels or the people of God or possibly both, and was prevailing over them until the ancient one came, judging in favor of his holy people. And the time arrived for the holy ones to take over the kingdom. Behind our earthly struggles, stand spiritual struggles that are often out of our vision. As the Apostle Paul stated in Ephesians 6:12, "For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." Tremper Longman III suggests the best way to view the image in Daniel 7 is not in terms of four specific evil empires, but as four kingdoms symbolically representing the fact that evil kingdoms, not specific number, will succeed one after the other from the time of the exile in which Daniel is living in to the time of the climax of the end of history, where God will intervene and once and for all judge all evil, and then will fully bring the kingdom of God. The passage ends in Daniel 7:28 with the prophet still being deeply troubled by the dream and vision. Although things end well for those who are followers of God, there'll be a great struggle in both the physical and the cosmos to complete the victory. I'm going to show you a clip here. It may take us a couple seconds to get it up.
Hi everyone, we're here in Kyiv today participating in a convoy that we as Alliance help fund and supply that provides humanitarian aid to many parts of Ukraine. As part of that, we're also attending a conference, a national pastors conference of a bunch of like-minded churches, and it's special because today they just voted to pursue application to becoming the Ukrainian Alliance Church and joining the Alliance World Fellowship. A year ago, I heard the testimony of a husband and wife from Ukraine, powerful testimony of a difficult situation that God redeemed. So I just want to start by saying, Alexander, thank you for being here with us today. How long have you and your wife been serving in ministry?
Когда мне уже было за 30 лет, я начал заниматься организацией новой церкви в Балаклее. Церковь большая выросла в Балаклее, и в некоторых селах, в четырех селах выросли церкви.
When the threat of war started to rise, what was the mood of the church? How did people respond?
Когда я приходил на служение, я видел в людях страх, видел ужас, и многих людей мы вывозили из Балаклея. Наша церковь, она насчитывала до войны более 200 человек. Во время оккупации осталось где-то около 30 человек. Проверили всю машину и нас возвратили назад, сказали, что вас никто не выпустит, город закрыли. Повезли меня в полицейский участок. На этих допросах меня обвиняли, что я пастор церкви, вот, я работник Америки. В течение двух допросов я был избит от плеч до самых пяток. До самых пят я был избит, я был весь синий. Когда меня привезли с больницы, я сам не мог, левая нога у меня полностью отказала. Меня привезли из больницы, то у меня было такое желание помолиться за тех людей, которые меня пытали, которые меня били. Это сохранило мое сердце от, можно сказать, того зла, которое не должно поселиться внутрь меня, потому что если зло поселится внутрь меня, оно будет меня просто разрушать. И мы с женой молились, вот, что нам дальше делать, оставаться нам в Балаклее или не оставаться. Приезжает сосед и говорит Кате, если, говорит, вы, говорит, хотите выезжать, у вас остался всего лишь один час. Город полностью закрывают. Мы проехали всю Россию, проехали всю Белоруссию и на Польшу. У меня вот такие были ноги большие, пухшие, рука поломана. Но вот через месяц в Польше пришло такое чувство, что Польша для тебя уже закончилась, и нужно возвращаться в Украину. И я не могу забыть тот момент, когда мы с женой пошли в магазин, и мне позвонили, сказали: «Саша, Балаклею ее освобождают». Я говорю: «Я вам не верю». Мы просто плакали, радовались. Когда наши забирали здание церковное, то говорили, что здесь не будет Бога, в нашем городе Балаклее не будет протестантских церквей, но Бог посрамил их. И когда мы вернулись в Балаклею, в нашей церкви полный зал людей, это больше 300 человек. И на сегодня 120 человек неверующих, которые каждую неделю приходят, изучают Библию. Открыто много разных служений, и детских, и подростковых, и молодежных. Мы не знаем, как будет завтра, но мы совершаем служение, которое Бог нам доверил.
It has been a joy for the Canadian Alliance to be able to.
The man with Ukrainian pastors are. Alliance Canadian President. Some of you with Ukrainian backgrounds, I'm sure, understood every word of that. God is greater than human evil, even when it's not always clear in the present. Ironically, Daniel, who is often interpreting and revealing the understanding of dreams in the first six chapters of the book, has a dream in chapter 7, which he needs help understanding. The NLT study says Daniel's vision of four evil beasts each represent a world empire. This was very similar to King Nebuchadnezzar's dream in chapter 2 that covered the political aspect of the empires, where Daniel's dream depicted the moral characteristics. These nations that would reign over Israel were evil and cruel, but Daniel also recognized God's everlasting kingdom was indestructible and would prevail. If you know the end of the story and how things would play out for you and everyone you love and our world, that would give you a measure of comfort or peace in the midst of the difficulty, suffering, and struggle. Wouldn't that give you hope if you knew how it was going to end? Well, then be prepared for some comfort and peace in your life. Longman says, although it looks as though the world is under the power of human evil, running rampant, it is not under God's control. Looks can be deceiving. God is in control. And there's no question concerning who's going to win the struggle. So he says, stay faithful. It's very hard when in the present everything seems to be going wrong, or it's utterly broken and painful, but it will not stay this way forever. There'll be a day things will shift, for some even tomorrow. God loves you. He's not lost you. In the end, it'll all work out. And as Yancey says, if it's not working out, it's because it's not the end yet. Let's pray. Jesus, we invite you to enter our darkness, suffering, and pain. You know exactly what we're experiencing as you suffered in all ways. Keep filling us with your love so we can become instruments of love instead of evil to others, that we can bring hope in your love. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
It's not my life to live. It's not my song to sing. All I have is His for all eternity. It's not my righteousness. It's not my faithfulness. All I have is His for all eternity.
I have three announcements, benediction, maybe four announcements, and we're going to sing one more song, then you're dismissed. If you want prayer today, there will be somebody in the back that will pray with you. Tonight, we're having our prayer night, if anybody would like to come. Starts at 7, goes to 8:30. We start with music. If you're just looking for space or want to get prayed for or want to pray for someone else, there's a great opportunity for it. December 7th is our next youth event, and they're going to wear pajamas? Like, I got to tell you, Christmas things, but pajamas. Like, I can't imagine being 15 and wearing pajamas. But then again, next Sunday, apparently, we're wearing pajamas. So I guess it all comes. But you get to wear whatever Christmas things you want. So that's starting at 6 and goes to 8:30. And they're going to have Sundays and watch a movie. And, of course, next week, so we just encourage you to sign up at the Welcome Center. Like I said last week, you're going to love the food because you're going to bring your own favorite dish. So bring a main thing and then a salad or dessert. Invite your friends. Sign up on the Welcome Center. This last week, I had an interaction with a good friend of mine who's a teacher. I said, "How'd your week go?" And he said, "Terrible." I said, "What happened?" He said, "There was an altercation in my class. And the principal is backing me up in it, but I'm home on stress leave right now." We have weeks like that, don't we? We have days like that where it seems like no matter what you do, it doesn't work. And there's this enormous amount of stress and difficulty. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing it's not going to end that way. It's not the end of the story. The end of the story comes when Jesus comes again and makes all things right in our lives, in our world, for the whole earth. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Please stand with us.
I have seen your faithfulness. You never break your promises. You are good, always good, my Jesus. In the tension of the night, you speak your word, my guiding light. I will trust you. Always grace for a broken heart. You're my strength when the day gets hard. Be my hope, you're my hope, King Jesus. I praise your name. In every moment I will choose to sing. With all I am, with every breath I take, I praise your name.
Have a great week.